Hey guys, it's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Some of these queens are heroic.
And some of these bitches are horrific. But we think the most interesting thing of all is that somehow they're all notorious.
Notorious.
Yes. Okay. Welcome good. Back.
Hey, but hey.
It's not even close, Miriam.
Shut up.
Listeners, we're trying. We're trying.
I'm not asking
to.
For truth, okay? Come on. I thought you knew that. Jesus.
One of these days we're going to sync it up. It's all right. It's all good. It's all good. Like, you know, but welcome back, listeners. If you are listening or watching this on YouTube or listening to this on your pod catcher of choice, please give us a 5-star review. We're not even saying just give us a review. Give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Five stars.
We're pretty specific. 5 stars.
If you're on YouTube and you're listening and watching this, hit that like and subscribe button so you'll get notifications when our newest episodes drop. And just tell your friends about us. We always say, don't just tell them about the show, though. You got to what? Copy the link and send it to them. Right, Miriam?
Yes, it's a song now. Copy the link and send it to them.
Send it to them.
That's
copy,
right.
Copy the link.
And send it
What genre
to
is that? I don't
them.
Know.
I think it's not. A genre, we wouldn't do that to genres. That's mean.
But okay, they'll remember. Copy the link and send it to them. So
yeah, that's
we've
true.
Done our
that's
job.
True.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
How are you, my friend?
All
this
right.
week?
I'm hanging in there. This was like Passover last week, Easter this week, because
oh yeah,
apparently do all the things.
Do all the things.
But you know, my kids are getting a little older, so I was like, here's some chocolate in a basket. Okay.
I know, right? I mean, you can't do eggs because they're,
$100? No, absolutely not. Are you kidding?
A dozen now.
Like, no, we're not rich. What's happening? No.
$500? Like, what is this? Is it golden eggs?
It's like, it's all golden eggs, but unfortunately, they're not, you know, golden or special. Or organic. They're
egg.
Just fucking eggs. I don't understand.
I do love eggs, too. I love
I mean, I'm going to be for real. I do actually spend too much money on eggs. And what I do is I go to Costco and I buy them like I own a bakery. And because the Costco charge is always like, that'll be $217, ma'am.
Right.
It's always like so much money. It's kind of hidden. So I'm not noticing it. My credit card statement is in fact noticing it. My husband did inform me of that, but I stopped listening. Okay. So it's fine.
But you do have like a, there's not, you're not single. There's not just two of you. There's kids who inhale food.
So
you definitely need to go to the Costco and get
can
the
I,
eggs.
Can,
do your kids like eggs?
They love eggs. So here's what I do.
Yeah.
You guys, I wanted to be that trad wife, remember? I didn't, but.
No, you don't.
Not even a little. But I like to pretend that we have a garage fridge. So a friend of ours was like, they were moving and they had this like old fridge. They're like, it'll never break, but it's gross. And we were like, that sounds great. We want that. So they gave it to us. So now we have the excess stuff like in the garage fridge. So I have all these Costco eggs. You can't really store it in a normal fridge because again, it's for my pretend baking business. Okay. Yeah. So I put it in there and I have one 18 pack, like what is it? Box
Costco brand,
just like
it's a pallet,
a pallet, if you will. And so I take the box to the fridge when I'm out of eggs, and I put the eggs into the box like I'm going to the chicken coop. And so now I've started saying I gotta go to the chicken coop in my backyard for eggs for the family. You know,
eggs are delicious. I will say that, but I mean, thanks tariffs. You know, I just want to say, I know, I mean, if you listen to our show, you know that we are political.
Yeah.
It hit me the other day. I was like, oh, so Dusty Wig, as my friend calls him, like, so he's basically stupid Reagan. He's stupid Reagan because
I heard
Reagan did some terrible things.
I heard Dollar Tree Reagan the other day and I love it. I'll take it.
No, he's stupid Reagan. Like,
that's true. Because Dollar Tree is excellent. might I say. Yeah,
thank you.
Side note.
Useful. This man, he's just so stupid, or stupid Woodrow Wilson, because Woodrow Wilson was a piece of fucking work, but he was smart. And with Reagan, at least we had the guise or the veneer of being intelligent or charismatic, or like, you know, he would deliver such terrible things to our economy, but in a smooth way.
Yeah.
And I will say one thing that Reagan was always big on is American security, right?
Yeah. So wait, not he this didn't motherfucker. Give all of the American people's information to Russia?
No.
Directly?
No.
Okay.
We just, y'all elected, because I didn't elect this motherfucker. Like, no, y'all elected either. Stupid Reagan. Like, yeah. I just, but I digress. So, like, I laugh so I don't cry.
Right.
You know.
We got to live in this world. Apparently, this is the world we live in. So.
There's nothing more terrifying than a mixture of stupidity and aggression. It's just
Did you hear terrifying. About the guy named Daniel? Did you hear about this?
No.
He saw them taking all of our information and trying to upload it out externally. And he knows that that information doesn't go external. So he stopped it and now he's suing.
Good.
Yeah. Good for Daniel.
Yeah, I mean.
And they threatened him?
Of course they did.
But he's still doing it.
And they still need to follow
Someone
him.
Someone needs to protect the shit out of Daniel. Yeah.
Yeah, he would definitely come up missing. So they'll send until what? Where are they sending people randomly to El Salvador or
El
something?
Salvador.
Like, oh, yeah. God.
Although this has become a mess for the current administration. So they might have to find a new horrific place.
But you know what? You can't shame stupid people.
No,
that's
you
also
can't.
What's frightening. They're too stupid. Like, stupid Reagan. Anyway, on that note,
that's
maybe
kind
we
of brilliant,
get
by the way. Don't let that go unsaid. You're kind of brilliant with that. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay. No, unfortunately, it's. I wish it were not true.
We all do. Okay.
Oh, girl. But let's get started because.
Yes.
I, on our latest arc of notorious Southeast Asian women, I was on the search for somebody. You know, sometimes we like to do like, because it's my turn this week for
it
listeners who don't know, we switch off. I was trying to find somebody that, you know, I love a murderess.
Yes,
I love a bad girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to find, you know, maybe somebody we haven't heard of that much to kind of shine light on, you know, that notorious women can be all over the world and be terrible all over or wonderful all over, right? But then I thought, come on, Veta. I started on one lady and I was like, oh, she was like a gangster, like cartel, that kind of thing. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then I was like, come on, girl. Southeast Asian women. Who's one of the most famous Southeast Asian women in the world?
Uh-huh.
Who's the most one of the most famous women in the world?
Right.
But who's also Southeast Asian?
Okay.
Imelda Marcos.
Of course, Imelda Marcos.
Of course. It's right there.
I just want you to know I did not know this, but then the lead up, I knew this.
Yeah. Come on. Like, she's arguably one of the most famous women in the world, most famous Southeast Asian women in the world, most famous politician, just in general, right?
Amazing.
And most famous notorious women in the world. So,
yes, indeed.
I know of her, but like, tell me more.
Well, of course, she is a titan in, like I said, world history. But so what I'm going to do is she needs a two-parter.
Okay.
So this week, we're going to get into the first part.
Okay.
Okay. So let's get into it.
Let's get into
now,
it. Okay.
Imelda Marcos was born Imelda Remedios Visitacion Romualdez. I know I butchered that, but she got like them five names because they were colonized by the Spanish, who 11 mm-hmm. names.
Mm-hmm.
But
you did an admirable job.
That's terrible. I know.
Okay. Well.
But she was born on July 2nd, 1929 to Vicente Orestes Romualdez, a lawyer, and his second wife, Maria Remedios. Trinidad. Now, Imelda was the sixth of her father's 11 children, but her mother's firstborn.
Okay.
Now, when she was born, her father's family was part of a political dynasty from the province of Leyte. So in her early years, she grew up in wealth, and she was part of a wealthy clan of devout Catholics, hence the name, the 511 names. And her family included a Supreme Court justice and a governor. So her extended family. So she came from like important people then.
Fancy.
But when she was about three, around 1932, the financial conditions of her family began to decline. Could be the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Could be a whole bunch of other things. But to make things more complicated, her parents were separated for a time, during which her mother worked for the nuns at a convent. They eventually reconciled, but to avoid further conflict with her father's first wife, Imelda and her mother, and then eventually her other siblings, moved to the house's garage.
No, what a motherfucker. Okay.
Yeah, always be first wife. Don't be second wife or third
wife. Don't be second wife. Yeah.
And then in 1937, after the birth of her sister Conchita, Imelda's mother's health began to fail. So she died on April 7th, 1938, when Imelda was about, I guess that would make her 8 or 9.
Yeah, 8 or 9.
Now, in their 10-year marriage, Imelda's parents had 6 children together. So
that's a lot of kids in a short period of time.
Yeah. So about a year later, in 1938, after her mother passed, her father gave up the big city living of being a lawyer in Manila, and he returned to Tacloban, which is a smaller province, where he would support his family with a simpler lifestyle.
Okay.
From then on, she grew up in a much more humble manner and means, which meant at school she was teased and bullied for her family's poverty at this point.
So they were suddenly poor, basically. Okay.
Just when she's getting at the age where she knows what money is, because when she's 2, it doesn't matter. But when you're like 9 or 10, it, you know, and the other kids are like, you're poor. And to add insult to injury, she frequently was among the students who had to apologize for late payments.
Oh, my God. And see, this is why we need public school, you guys.
See, you and I here, Miriam, because that's exactly what I was about to say.
Yep. Yep.
This is why the other side wants to get rid of public schools, because they want to have a perpetual working class, servant class.
Mm-hmm. That can't read, that can't think for themselves, that don't understand, that don't have the time or energy, no matter how actual intelligent they are.
Yep.
Yeah.
That really interrupts a kid. So a kid is poor and they're highly intelligent and have a lot of potential, but they can't improve their stock in life. And that's the American way, right? Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. So, and one of the ways people were able to do that is through public schools, which is why a lot of people immigrate here, because they're like, oh, my kids can go to school for free because our tax dollars pay for public schools. So
that's
we all benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so again, she's now living life as a young kid, elementary, high school, as somebody who's poor.
Yes.
Now, high school was rough, as you can imagine. But eventually she graduated in 1948 and went off to college. At college, she ran for president of the student council in 1951. Also, while in undergrad, she taught at a local Chinese high school and had various jobs. Again, working class, poor. This is what you do. You have to work. Yeah. And she did graduate in 1952.
She graduated college from 1950.
College, yeah. Okay. She had won a scholarship to study music at the Philippine Women's University. So off she went to also do additional studies in music. She went off for general studies, and then they're like, oh, she has ability and there's a scholarship, that kind of thing, right?
Music talent. Okay.
Music talent. Now, after graduating from the music university studying music, she returned to Manila in 1952 to stay in the house of one of her uncles, who was a House of Representative of the Philippines, by the name of Daniel Romaldez. Now, he had 3 adopted children, and apparently it's been written that at this time, her status in her uncle's household during this time had been described as, quote, higher than servants and lower than family members as a poor relative.
Ay-yi-yi. People are such assholes. Okay.
And this is what I will say. You know, we as Americans, we can shit on America. We can talk about America, but y'all can't talk about America.
Yeah,
this exactly. This is one of the things that does make America great that these MAGA maggots are trying to get rid of is mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what your parents had. All what matters is what you can do. So that individualism, like, you're not marred by what your parents did or did not do.
Right.
Or did or did not have.
Right.
And the fact that your own family members will treat you in such a way because you no longer have money is something that's just frowned upon in America. And maybe in the wealthier families, they do it. But, you know, maybe the Ratcliffe from White Lotus do it. But
I mean, but they still, they put on a face. They'll take you to dinner. They'll talk behind your back how sad it is you made such poor life choices. They'll even sneak you money so that you could get your hair done and not embarrass them. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but to treat your own blood like a little bit better than a servant is a very non-American thing way to do things. So, so it's just very, very interesting. So she, again, she was just like, okay, this is my lot in life. This fucking sucks, I'm sure. And later on, what happens, I'm sure this really affected her. Now, when her father found out, he was infuriated.
Yeah.
So when he came to visit her one day, he realized, because it's subtle, right?
Yes.
He was like, no, y'all should be treating my daughter better than this. So to calm her dad down, her uncles used their political and economic influence to find her work at the central bank instead of being a sales girl somewhere where she and she worked under the chief clerk of the intelligence division. I'm like, dude, you should have done this from the get go.
Day
one. What's the point in having family that's connected if you can't help a young girl
get a better job? Are you kidding? I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. So now it was at this time. Now growing up, she was always very charismatic, but Imelda turned into a real beauty. This is, and that's still something that we think about when we think about her in our mind's eye, that she's a very beautiful woman, not just by Philippine standards. I think just overall, she was a very beautiful woman. She had high cheekbones, just again. So she was, you know, and at this age, if you're a girl who can go into beauty contests, and they're around, that's what you do. So she joined in 1953, she joined the Miss Manila pageant.
Okay.
Now, the results became controversial because there's some like funny business with the voting or what have you. But it resulted in Imelda and a woman by the name of Norma Jimenez being declared the Manila's candidate to the larger Miss Philippines pageant.
Oh, but they were
so
both?
It was a tie. Yeah.
Okay.
Eventually, they both lost to Miss Christina Galak. So, but it was just some to keep that in the back of your mind. There's, you know, again, she comes from a political family, politically minded family, a father who was a lawyer. So she's learning all this as a young woman, right? And then she ran for student government when she was in high school and in college. So now, shortly after, you know, you're a good looking woman, you go in your place, beauty pageant. So the men that come sniffing around, she's 1920, you know, she's born in 1929. So she's like 53. So what is this? She's like 24.
Yeah.
Prime age to find a rich husband, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Or to kiss a lot of frogs. So shortly after this beauty pageant thing, she met Ferdinand Marcos on April 6, 1954. And he, at that point, was a 36-year-old politician.
Okay.
And she went to visit her cousin at the Senate, and she saw him arguing during a debate over budget hearings at the Philippine Congress.
Okay.
Now, he was part of the opposition team, and it led to them arguing or what have you over it. So she got to see him in action.
Okay.
Because her cousin Daniel was a Speaker of the House. Again, her distant right. family is connected. So, you know. Now, during the recess of this going back and forth over the budget, she caught Ferdinand's eye. So he asked a journalist friend of his by the name of Jose Guarvera of the Manila Times to introduce him to her.
Okay.
But he pretended like he didn't. He was just meeting her. But he knew of her because like all virile men, lusty men, I'm sure he had checked out the competition.
Yeah.
The beauty pageant. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah. So he knew of her, but he pretended like he didn't. And she knew very little of him because she's just a young woman trying to make a way in the world, trying right. to figure out what am I going to do? Probably looking for a rich husband. Who knows? Ferdinand was smitten from the start. So he okay. sought the help of his friend to pursue her in marriage. He was all out. He was marriage. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Skipping some steps here, but okay.
They had a whirlwind courtship that only lasted 11 days
what before the they fuck? Got married. Okay. Wow.
So, according to Ferdinand via Imelda in one of the interviews I was watching, she said that of the quick romance, she said, quote, the president has said that he had been window shopping for some time and knew exactly what he wanted.
Oh,
quote.
My God.
So she was like, he see a bad bitch. he wants some of this.
Okay.
Now, for her part, she says in the same interview that she had always been dreaming. She's like, imagine dreaming of someone to come and sweep you off your feet.
Yeah.
So when he showed up, she said that she knew that this is the man that she had been dreaming of.
Okay.
Again, this sounds like a 23, 24-year-old woman from a, you know, a pretty conservative family. You know, it's definitely of that period of like, you save her for marriage, da-da-da, 36 is that sweet spot for men, I will say. Especially if you're like 23, 24, they're older, but and Ferdinand is a handsome man. They made a beautiful couple.
They're older. They seem more mature, but they're still very sexy, you know?
Yes. And he's
but
coming.
Also, yeah. You know, what is she doing? Okay.
Yeah. okay. He also is well connected. Obviously, he's an up and coming rising political star. So but he pursued her hard. He basically love bombed her, too.
Oh, of course.
So
you only
the
have
11 week,
days. It's not that hard.
Yeah. During Holy Week of that year, he showered her with flowers and gifts and visited her family and basically was like, you need to marry me. Here's the marriage license. So let's do this. And it worked.
Creepy. Okay.
On April 17th, 1954, she, Imelda, Imelda Romualdez.
Romualdez. Go on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Married. They secretly married in a ceremony by a reluctant judge who was a friend of Ferdinand.
So that they could have sex. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Now, the church wedding, the official church wedding followed after they received the blessing of her dad. Ferdinand asked via telegram.
Okay,
you
Ferdinand.
You're so right. On Easter Sunday.
What a dick. Okay.
Yeah. Now, the official wedding day was actually May 1st, 1954.
Okay.
Now, the marriage meant that Ferdinand's common law wife, a woman by the name of Carmen Ortega, from her own political Ortega political clan. He had already had three children with Carmen.
Wow, this gets spicier. Okay.
So she had to be quietly taken out of the public eye.
Wow.
I'm sure her family was not happy about that. And you can't really find out what happened to Carmen. And I don't know if it's because once he became president, spoiler alert, he became president of the Philippines, that he just sort of maybe paid her off.
I'm hoping she got her money and got her peace. That's what I'm
because they have
hoping.
Three children together.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
I'm hoping they got their money, you know?
Yeah. But it's a shady beginning to an eventually shady political life for the soon-to-be power couple. Now, after marriage, Ferdinand continued his political life, and Imelda settled into being the wife of a political rising star. Okay. Like I said, she was very beautiful and extremely poised, especially amongst the political wives. So she was very unusual because they were used to being in the background and dressing very conservatively. But this is a beauty queen, right?
Yeah.
Who is like, this is my moment, bitches.
Yeah. I mean, I get that. I get that.
Okay. No one puts baby in the corner.
Right.
So much so that from the beginning, Ferdinand also admired, I will say, he admired that she was intelligent and she had opinions.
Yeah.
So he often wanted her by his side. And he was also very politically savvy because he recognized her charisma.
Yeah.
As well. Not just her beauty, but her charisma and her intelligence. So in 1965, about 10 years into their marriage, he ran for president. And during the campaign, Imelda became an influential political figure at the national level, using her charisma. Again, she's very charismatic, to appeal to the youth in particular, because she was young and beautiful. And if you know about her past history, like her family had money and then they lost money. So that's going to appeal to the poor people, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Working class Filipino people.
Mm-hmm. She is of the people.
She is of the people, even though she's not really, but
no.
It's a great, yeah. And because of that, crowds of working class Filipino people came out in droves.
Oh, wow.
They're very attracted to the Marcos campaigns, and they wanted to see, quote, the beautiful wife of Marcos, end quote.
Okay.
Now, it was in this period that Imelda herself described herself as a neophyte transitioning into a true political partner to her husband. And okay. she said of herself, she was, quote, a butterfly breaking out of its cocoon, end quote.
Okay.
This will eventually lead to foreign journalists calling her the Iron Butterfly.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And we'll get into more of that as well. Yeah. Now, she, during this campaign, she assumed a managerial position in her husband's campaign early on when he faced his first challenge, which was to win the presidential candidacy for the Nacionalista Party. She enthusiastically ran a detailed campaign, befriending over 1,300 delegates the National Party, because he needed to get the nomination.
Right, right.
Which, because of her, a lot of people tell you, because of her charisma, and they look like and again, they're a gorgeous couple. He won the nomination on November 21st, 1964 for the Nacionalista Party. Now, many historians have noted that it was Imelda who convinced Fernando Lopez to accept the vice presidential nomination.
Okay.
He was Ferdinand's like arch rival.
Oh, so interesting.
To kind of like bury the hatchet, you know, make a cohesive ticket. She met with him. She appealed to him by recounting the many struggles that she and Ferdinand had faced during the campaign.
Okay.
He refused. Lopez was like, I don't know nothing about that. I don't want to hear all that. Right. Multiple times. Until reportedly Imelda cried in front of him.
Oh, my God.
When he relented, Imelda proceeded to hand him a document to sign.
Wiped away the tears, do the makeup, hand the document.
Here you go. I got it right here.
It's right here. No, I feel better now. Thank you.
So with Lopez on the ticket, they set about winning the presidential election. So during the run for president, her charisma, again, remained a formidable weapon in the campaign's arsenal. Because of that, campaign strategists incorporated her a lot more into the public's appeal in many ways, including asking her to wear her signature terno as an integral part of their image strategy. Now, the terno is a traditional Filipino style of dress. It has the kind of like the poofy shoulders, arms.
Okay.
Like, and sometimes you'll see her in pictures and they're pointy or like, but they're poofier. But it's a traditional Filipino garb, which again, it's appealing to the common folk.
Yep.
Now, during the presidential election itself, she delivered votes from the southern province of Leyte, okay. her home place in Manila. She was especially popular, like I said, with the poor. And she used her voice to appeal to voters singing during campaigns, her previous singing.
Oh, my God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Usually a variety of local folk songs. So she was just leaning into the folksy. It's like the version, the, you know, 1960s Filipino version of folksy. I'm just like y'all, folksy. But I'm also very beautiful.
Nostalgia.
Nostalgia.
Home. Vote for me.
Yep. Sorry. We are the people. We're like you. Yeah. Now, for his part, Ferdinand remained enthusiastic for Imelda's participation. He was like, this is great. And he even said to the press that it was Imelda who had delivered the 1 million vote margin he needed to win the election.
Oh, my God.
And when he did, he won the election and he said, it's Imelda that did it.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, that is very progressive for a man in 1964 to say that publicly about his wife. So on December 30 of 1965, Ferdinand Marcos was inaugurated as the 10th president of the Philippines, and the new first lady of the Philippines, Imelda Marcos, was by his side. Now, Imelda Marcos would turn out to be one of the most politically powerful and notorious women in the Western world.
Yes.
And if you want to know how and why, you're going to have to come back for part two.
That sounds good.
That is where we start. Because, boy, it's a lot.
It's actually so interesting to hear like the breakdown of where she started. Because nobody really thinks about that, remembers that. There's a lot of like too bad-isms, you know, like, oh, that's too bad. Oh, that sucks for her. Like, getting up to, you know, you're not going to feel sorry for her at the end of next time you do this episode. Not at all.
Part two.
But it's interesting. Like, I mean, it's a really good, I'm just saying, like, if we have public schools and support and we judge people not on their money, but like maybe it wouldn't have gotten so bad. Now, maybe it would have, because who knows? But like,
well, I also think it's so interesting when I was doing research on this, particularly this part of it. You know, this is the 60s, which was very tumultuous in the United States and in the world in general. But like what she becomes notorious for, it made me think of like her and Ferdinand remind me of Reagan.
Oh,
Ronald and Nancy Reagan in a lot of ways. Even though in the 60s, they were likened to basically the Filipino Kennedys. Because like I said, they were a gorgeous couple, young.
Yeah.
Like Jackie O and JFK. They were very young, very good looking. They look good together. They look good, all dressed, fancied up. But then, you know, moving into the 70s and the 80s when they are firmly in power and becoming, one would say...
Not okay.
Like,
sorry, dude. No more Kennedys. Nope.
Yeah, being sort of, and we'll get into it, like I said, next time. But it's just so interesting because it's so interesting these power couples. Because even with Reagan, like, to share the spotlight with your wife is a decidedly woke.
Yeah.
It's a woke way to see women, especially back then. But the things they did together were not great.
No. But we'll find that out later.
Yeah.
This was interesting to start out. Like, you know, one of 11 children, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Starts out strong. Drops and go and look her up because
Imelda Marcos, I think this would be a great... like a role for a Filipina actress. Like she would
kill it. I
thought you were
going to say me. And I was like, no, I'm not Filipina, but I appreciate you understanding the depths of my abilities and my beauty. What?
Cause she's still alive. She's still alive, so spoiler alert, like, but she is fascinating. So you guys are going to have to come back next time.
Yes, please.
To hear part two of Imelda Marcos.
Okay. So. Lavetta, thank you so much for bringing her. I'm so excited you did. I was kind of hoping, I'm not going to lie. So when you started talking, I was like, Imelda Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. One of the most famous women, especially in definitely a notorious Southeast Asian woman. So
that's for damn sure.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right, guys, that wraps it up for the latest episode of the Notorious Women podcast. Remember to follow us on all the things. Mm-hmm. If you want to help the show out, you can do that by leaving us a 5-star review in the Apple Store or on Spotify. You can do that now. You can also, you can also give us some money. I mean, I have not married rich, so I could always use some cash.
I love my husband so very much, but I did not do what my grandmother told me to do and marry just for money. Okay, I did not listen. She tried real hard. She was like, it's not worth it.
Just, you know what's so crazy, though? Even the rich people, money is always welcome. Even rich people.
I know, right? They're like, ooh, even more money.
Even more money. So if you guys want to help us out, you can do that at our Patreon. And that's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. And Miriam, how else can they find and support the show?
You guys, we are on TikTok. We are on Instagram. Both are on Notorious Women Podcast. They're both different. We do different things there. We also have a YouTube channel. If you are on YouTube watching us right now, hello.
Hello.
But if you're like, wait, you're live on YouTube? Well, not live. I keep telling people we're live. We recorded this. But now.
That's your theater background.
I know, right? To be or not to be. Anyways, YouTube is Notorious Women Podcast. And if you want to email us something longer, it's notoriouswmpod@gmail.com.
Yes. All right, guys. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.